Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. You know those moments? They're called senior moments by many, where you lose your keys, you forget the name of someone you've met before, or maybe have just met. You walk into a room and you can't remember why. Well, the thinking goes that senior moments happen more frequently as we age, and that our cognitive thinking overall declines. But that may not necessarily be so, according to new research out of MIT and Massachusetts General Hospital. In fact, though some skills, like pairing numbers and symbols, do peak in late teens, other skills, like reading people's emotions, tend to peak in midlife and stick around for decades. We spoke to the co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog, Carrie Goldberg, about this a little earlier today.
So this study, first of all, it's just out in the journal Psychological Science, and it involved a huge number of subjects, something like 50,000 people who took online cognitive or intelligence tests. And I must say that as someone who's well past her first blush of youth, it's one of the most heartening studies that I've looked at in quite a long time. And the basic upshot is that instead of showing what many of us thought was true, which is that we basically peak in terms of intelligence and processing speed when we're quite young, like 19, 20, 21. In fact, what happens is that various pieces of our intelligence or our cognitive abilities peak at various times in our lives. Mm. So it's much more nuanced. And in fact, some of those peaks come surprisingly late. Like, for example, vocabulary, it looks like, might not peak until your 50s or 60s, which I found particularly heartening to hear.
Especially in the line of work that we're in.
Exactly. In fact, it changed my self-concept. I was like, maybe I'm not searching for words quite as often as I thought I would.
Okay. Well, Carrie, stick with us because we actually have one of the researchers and co-authors of this study here with us, Laura Germine. She's a psychiatric researcher at Massachusetts General Hospital, and she joins us now. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you, and a pleasure to read this study, to be perfectly honest. It gives us all great hope as time marches on. But first, let me just ask you, were you surprised at the results?
We were very surprised. So there's been this broad theoretical framework for a long time about fluid intelligence peaking again in the early 20s and then crystallized intelligence, things that are based on knowledge that increase through the lifespan until about 40 or 50.
Well, fluid intelligence meaning specifically?
The ability to quickly and flexibly think, reason, perceive things that's not based on the acquisition of knowledge. So,
okay. So we thought at one time that that was in its prime in your 20s.
And in fact, there was a game released several years ago by Nintendo called Brain Age, where you did these tests, and the best score you could get was a 20, because it reflected a brain that was 20 years old, or like functioning like a 20-year-old. And we held to that notion, and we started seeing data that didn't really fit with that and kind of contradicted those notions. And so we thought, okay, we need to step back here, and we need to just start from the beginning, look at a bunch of other data sets, reanalyze them, collect a lot of data ourselves, and see, are these just weird things that we saw that reflected accidents, or is it actually truly different things peaking at different times?
So tell us in more with more specificity, what are those things that you saw, the specific brain functions that you saw peaking later?
So we saw that 20-year-olds were, in fact, the quickest. So they could respond very quickly to something that appears on a screen. But it was the 25 to 35-year-olds that could hold things in mind the best, for instance, pictures and numbers. It was people in their 40s and 50s that were the best at interpreting facial expressions and inferring what someone is thinking and feeling from their faces. And it was people in their 60s and beyond that had the highest verbal knowledge.
And, Meghna, what I liked about it was they're not just talking about wisdom. Like, it's not just, oh, we know the ways of the world, and so our experience makes us wise. It's actually accumulated knowledge. It's the fact that you keep learning all through your life, and that actually can play into various forms of intelligence.
Well, isn't that sort of common sense as well, that verbal knowledge would peak later in life just because you've been listening to language, using it more with each additional year of your existence?
So some of it is. The verbal knowledge thing is interesting because based on previous research, we would think verbal knowledge peaks around the 40s and 50s. And what we found in our data was a much later peak than that. And we got a little worried at first and we thought, maybe this is something weird about the web. So we had to dig back into data sets that were collected with more traditional methods. And we found that people who were tested in the 1970s and 80s were peaking in their 40s and 50s. People tested in the 1990s were peaking in their 50s and 60s. And people being tested now, the baby boomer generation that's now retiring, their verbal knowledge is peaking in the 60s. So it's, for whatever reason, people are doing better now than we would expect.
Well, maybe just a point of clarification to help us understand this. When we say verbal knowledge, what exactly are we talking about?
This particular test that we used is a vocabulary test. So it's identifying synonyms. You see a word and you see a set of words and you say which one's the most similar in meaning.
So this raised the question to me of, but maybe the audience, maybe your subjects are not representative, because I would tend to think that older people who are online taking cognitive tests are probably among the most intelligent older people.
Yes. Firstly, we worried about that too, which is why we spent a lot of time just checking against data that had been collected in traditional ways. And the other thing is, even in traditional studies where you bring someone into the laboratory, it relies on people who are high functioning enough to go sign up for a study, schedule it, come in, not the people who are lower functioning anyway. So that bias, I think, exists across the board.
So do we have any working theories as to why these specific cognitive abilities have actually improved over the decades, the timeline has been pushed later into life?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So I think there are three main possibilities that might be explaining this. One is differences in education. The baby boomer generation was probably a lot more educated than previous generations, and that might help sort of sustain verbal knowledge across the lifespan. Differences in health and active lifestyles that are changing the way people's brains change over age. And then finally, people might be more intellectually engaged now than they were before. There are more opportunities for retirees to really use their brains. And we find that, you know, using your brain is actually the best way to keep your brain from getting worse.
And one thing that particular finding made me wonder was whether it could have any effect on the ageism in the workplace. Like, I wonder if your findings are borne out, could that mean that, in fact, older people will have an easier time getting hired because people won't assume that they've had cognitive decline?
I really hope so. I mean,
don't we all?
I mean, it's true that people in their early 20s are going to be the quickest and they're going to be the best at video games. If your job is doing well at video games, early 20s is probably the way to go. But there's a lot of other skills in the world. There's interpersonal skills. There's skills related to acquisition of knowledge. There's skills related to being able to solve certain kinds of problems that aren't necessarily just down to how quick you are in a novel situation.
Interesting. Now, what might this mean for people who are concerned about, you know, the most difficult outcomes of cognitive decline, dementia, Alzheimer's, if anything?
The nice thing is the fact that the baby boomer generation is doing so well, even in its nationally representative type samples, I think is good, because it means that whatever is changing about our lifestyles, whatever things we've put in place over the last few decades, they seem to be helping. I don't think our results speak much to dementia, because, you know, we weren't studying that group specifically. But I do think, you know, although one thing might be impaired, like memory or speed of processing as you get older, there are other things that are changing in different ways. All of this data was made possible, and all this research was made possible through our two websites, Dr. Joshua Hartshorn and I, testmybrain.org and gameswithwords.org. We invite people to come participate. We give you feedback on how you do on these tests, and it helps us understand more about things like development and aging and other aspects of cognitive ability.
And anyone can do these from their
own. Anyone can do it. We don't even need to know who you are. We ask for age, sex, a couple of other things, and then you dive right in, and then you get your results at the end.
All right. Well, we'll have links to that on our website, RadioBoston.org. Laura Germine is a psychiatric researcher at Massachusetts General Hospital and co-author of the new study on the various peaks of cognitive function. Great to speak with you. Thank you so much.
It's great to be here. Thanks.
And Carrie Goldberg, co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog. Here's to many more years of robust cognitive health for both of us.
Right, of not being as dumb as we thought we were getting. Thank you, Magna.
Thanks so much, Carrie. And that's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.